That follows Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. To be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before the Lord, in whose sanctuary are strength and beauty.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into the courts of the Lord.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before the Lord, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. People,
the Lord has established
the world. It shall never be moved. The Lord will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it.
Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
And now, the Old Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 39. So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets number 450. Let two bulls be given to us. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is indeed God." All the people answered, "Well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. Then call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it." So they took the bull that was given to them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud. Surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, no response. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come closer to me." And all the people came closer to him. First he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then they made a trench around the altar large enough to contain 2 measures of seed. Next he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. He said, "Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. Again he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." So ends the reading.
On up.
Okay, kids, come on down. A few. Good. I brought a little flag with me today. You know why? You know what holiday we're celebrating this weekend? Memorial Day. This is a special 3-day weekend. In fact, this time of the year is really neat because we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. There's a race today too, yeah. We have June 14th as Flag Day. And then we have the 4th of July is Independence Day. So we have a lot of patriotic things happening. But Memorial Day is a day that we stop and we want to remember all the people who are in the service, and especially those who gave their lives to defend our freedom. And we have a lot of freedoms here in the United States, and we take a lot of them for granted. We don't realize what it's like to live in other countries and how sometimes they don't have the same freedoms we do. We have the freedom to live wherever we want. We have the freedom to become whatever we want when we grow up. We can make a lot of decisions and choices, like what I want to wear today or who I want to play with. And those are important things that we have to decide upon, and choices we make. And a lot of those decisions, a lot of those choices are easy to make. But sometimes they're not easy to make. And sometimes we have to really think, what should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? Is this the right thing to do? And a lot of times what we could do is kind of think back and think, well, what would Jesus do? If Jesus would do that, it would probably be the right thing to do. And we're gonna find out today that Lindy's going to be talking about one of the apostles, Paul. And Paul did just that. Listen, he went around and traveled, and he was telling people about God's love that came to us through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul didn't do that because somebody told him to, or a friend talked him into it. He did it because he wanted to please God. And that's just something that we can kind of think about as we make our decisions and as we do things throughout the year. We can do things and try to do things that please God. And so as you go through the summer and as you play with your friends and you have a fun time, remember to do things that are going to also please God, okay? Let's finish with an echo prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the freedom we enjoy. We are thankful for those who paid the price for that freedom, and help us to make the right decisions for the right reasons. And now, before you go back, I've got something to find where I put it. To help you make the right decisions and the right choices, I've got something for you today, so that you would be smart in making those decisions. And I've got Smarties. But you check with your parents if you can have these. But we used to bring these when our boys were little. And Cody's not here, but even as an adult, when he's with us here in church, he'll nudge Linda and say, "You got any Smarties?"
The New Testament reading this morning comes from Galatians 1, verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So ends the reading. The gospel today comes from Luke 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people and is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under the authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. You may be seated.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I repeated that greeting. Could you tell which one was the authentic one? The first one was recorded. The second one was me. There was a commercial on TV a long time ago in the early 70s, for those that are, you know, getting older. And the tagline was, "Is it live or is it Memorex?" Ella Fitzgerald sang this song, and she hit this really high note, and it shattered a glass. So then they recorded her voice, and when they played it back, the recorded voice also shattered the glass. The point, it was almost impossible to tell which one was live and which one was recorded. In this case, that was a good thing, because the people couldn't tell the difference. And just so you all know, yes, that was on cassette tapes back then. And a lot of people don't know what those are anymore. So in the scripture reading today from Galatians, the people were having a similar problem, but it was not a good thing. The question then and today, why didn't they recognize the authentic gospel?
Do you? Are others or things throwing you into confusion and perverting the gospel? Do we try to add to things as the Christian Jews tried to do? Well, Paul and Barnabas had just been to several cities in the Roman province of Galatia, which is present-day Turkey. They were teaching and preaching the good news. Lives were changed. Hearts were given to Christ. Churches were being founded. And Paul had a heart for these people because of what they had experienced together. Now remember, before Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he hated the Christian faith, and he took every opportunity he could to persecute and torture Christians without mercy. He was relentless. But Paul saw the risen Christ himself. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord, confessed his sin, surrendered his life to Christ, and resolved to obey him. True conversion comes from a personal encounter with Jesus and leads to a new life. After this encounter with Christ, Paul was then relentless for Christ and for carrying the gospel out into the world. Paul knew what his job was, and God used every aspect of Paul's life to move the gospel forward, just as he will use your past and your present so you can serve him with your future. Paul knew how much he had been forgiven, and he knew the freedom that came from that relationship with the risen Christ. When you know how amazing something is, you want to share it, right? So Paul journeyed and shared the gospel as he had experienced it, a free gift given out of love from the Father. Paul was acting out of love. He was thankful and obedient to Jesus when he was taking this good news to the Gentiles. In Acts 9:15, we read, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" Ananias went to Paul and told him that Jesus had sent him so that Paul would be able to see again, because remember, he was blinded, and he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And from then on, Paul preached for Christ throughout the Roman Empire. He was often called the apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas went on their first journey, and after they returned to Antioch, they soon received word that there were problems in Galatia. And after hearing this, Paul wrote a letter to his friends in the churches in Galatia. So now we're going to dig into that letter and kind of pick apart those verses and see what we can learn and what it meant for them and what it means for us today. So he begins with his greeting, "Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and to all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia." Paul stated, first of all, that he was an apostle. An apostle was someone sent by Jesus Christ, not church or man. Paul was speaking with full authority, and he wanted the people to understand that. He was sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He had full authority, and he would defend that authority. So Paul went directly to his friends first by writing this letter to the churches in Galatia. Now there's a good lesson to learn right there. He didn't go to those that were opposing. He bypassed them and went right to the ones who were making the bad choices. Paul faced the problem head on without fear. He had nothing to fear. He was all in for the Lord, and he had the full authority to do so. Now look where he came from. God's grace saved him, and God's protection was with him. He was strong and he was courageous. He didn't hesitate to expose the lies. In verses 3 through 5, he writes, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." It was always God's plan to save us by the death of Jesus, to rescue us from evil. Jesus rescued us. If we need rescued, then we clearly aren't able to do it by ourselves. If you can rescue yourself while you're drowning, then you're not really drowning, are you? But we needed rescued, and God the Father knew it. He went on to say in verses 6 and 7, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul was astonished. He was surprised. I mean, come on. You people have been called to live freely in grace, in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to something else? It's a free gift, people. All you need is to believe. All you need to do is have faith in the Lord, because he gave his life and do everything possible. Whoops. Do you wonder if Paul was thinking, really, people, look at me. I was doing everything possible to persecute his followers, and he forgave me. I accepted the free gift. I believe. Why can't you just be satisfied with what's been given to you out of love? I imagine, along with being astonished, he probably hurt for them. He had experienced something amazing with these people, and now they were turning to what he called a different gospel, which was really no gospel at all. Imagine how God must have felt and does feel when we're so easily pulled away from the truth. The people throwing them into confusion were most likely Christian Jews. They were sometimes called Judaizers because although they were Christian, they were trying to turn people into Jews. They were saying that in order for a Gentile believer to be saved, they still had to follow the Jewish laws and customs, and especially the custom of circumcision. Which what they were really saying was, faith in Christ wasn't enough. They diminished the work of Jesus by saying human works were necessary for salvation as a supplement to Jesus. Jesus Christ does not need to be supplemented. They and we are saved by grace through faith, not by our works and not by compliance with laws and rituals. It's faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." We are all sinners. We all fall short. And there's only one way given to us by God to be forgiven for our sins, and that is through believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. No other person, method, or ritual can give us that eternal life. Salvation rests entirely on Jesus Christ. We can be confident in that. Did it seem too simple to the Galatians? Does it seem too simple to you? In my personal journey, I struggled with past sin. Past choices I made I struggled to let go of them. I had a hard time understanding how God could forgive me. I was sure my sin was worse than anyone else's. The Holy Spirit was working in me, but I was a work in progress. I had to take time out of my busy life to spend time with my Savior. I had to get to know him. To get to know someone, you have to spend time with them. I found that through his word and our conversation that he loves me, and I was being crippled by holding on to my past. I was missing out on peace in my life, and knowing God equals peace. How many people walk through their Christian life crippled by the sin they can't let go of because they don't take time to get to know their Lord? We say we're Christians and we sit in church, but we're bound by fear and hung up on following rules instead of accepting the free gift of grace and living life in faith, serving and loving the Lord. Are you saying Jesus dying on the cross isn't enough for your sin? Paul goes on to write in verses 8 and 9, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse." When something is repeated, it usually means we need to be paying attention. And Paul was speaking pretty strongly here. The Judaizers were perverting the gospel of Christ. No matter what someone looks like or how good they appear to be, if they're preaching anything other than the truth, let them be under God's curse. That's severe. We must be on guard. Being pulled away from truth, as with any sin, can be what I call a slow fade. It can start very subtly, and it doesn't look or sound too bad, but it's a slippery slope you don't want to start down. When someone or something starts pulling you away and twisting the truth, it's not usually out of simple ignorance. It comes out of sin. It could be envy and or just a wicked desire to tear you or the church down. In today's scripture, I think the Jewish Christians were probably dealing with jealousy and pride. Jealous of what was being done in Christ's name and pride in their Jewish traditions that they didn't want to see come to an end. Pride and envy are ugly. Sometimes we don't want to see the truth in our own lives either. Pride can keep us from opening up to the Lord, from giving him our deepest ugly hurts and hang-ups. It keeps us from sharing those hurts and hang-ups with other strong Christians who could maybe help us to see the light and come out of that darkness. It keeps us from trusting, and it keeps us from having faith. And self-centeredness keeps our eyes on what we want, which is rarely in our best interest, instead of what God wants and has planned for us, which is always in our best interest. So cling to the truth. God is truth, God is light, and God is peace. In verse 10, Paul said, Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Courage. Paul had courage. He didn't hesitate to expose the lies. He had to act swiftly. His friends were in serious trouble. The mission God had given him was being threatened. He had to lay aside the approval of others and only concern himself with what God was pleased with. God called Paul to preach and teach throughout the world and not worry about whose toes he stepped on. Of course, God always calls us to speak the truth in love. Everything we do must be bathed in love, mercy, and grace. But we can't let our legitimate desire for peace and unity squelch the need to protect and preserve the gospel. Jesus Christ died for us. He sacrificed all so you and I could freely come before God and have conversation and have a beautiful relationship with him. Look at how much he loves you. He suffered and he died an agonizing death for you and for me. Shouldn't we give our all? Shouldn't we love and protect what he's given us? This is Memorial Day weekend, and on this holiday, we're to remember those who died while serving our country. They sacrificed it all to protect what they believed in. Throughout the history of this great country, which God has blessed so greatly, people have set aside their safety in order to protect and preserve our freedom. Listen to the words of Abraham Lincoln. He was speaking in his Gettysburg Address. He said, "It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from this earth." And you talk about courageous, the men that fought in the Civil War and the women that were beginning to be able to participate as nurses for the first time, taking care of those. That's courage and that's sacrifice. It is for the Lord and those living that we teach and protect the gospel. We remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the saints before us, the love and sacrifice of our past generations who may have taught us about Jesus. It is for our friends, our brothers and sisters all over the world, for our children, for our grandchildren, and for all future generations that we protect and cherish the authenticity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in verses 11 and 12 to say, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Because the Judaizers were trying to undermine Paul's spiritual credentials, he defended his apostleship, explaining again that he was appointed by God, not by man. Paul went full steam ahead, but not by himself. He was appointed by God. His life before Christ was a wreck, but his life after Christ, although it was hard, he knew what he was to be doing. He knew who had his back, and he didn't waver. Many times in the Bible, we hear about how people wavered or were led astray by false teachers. In the Old Testament reading today, the prophet Elijah confronted the people after they had been following King Ahab and worshiping Baal. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But then you went on to learn that God was there. He was present. And when the people saw it, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Why do we so quickly lose our way? Choose who you'll serve. Choose what you'll believe. There's only one gospel. And all other religions in this country or in this world are works-based. In order to get to the next level, it's all dependent upon works. It's all about what you have to do. Only in Christianity did God the Father and Jesus the Son do all the work for you. Then they just freely gave you that gift. You just need to simply accept it and then live in faith. And the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to what he wants to reveal you in Scripture. But the first thing you must do is open your heart. Then you have to open the book. He is the real deal. The Word is the real deal. Don't wait to start digging into the Word, because none of us know when our time here will end. Start today. Go home today and read your Bible for 5 minutes. Tomorrow, set the tone for your day by starting it with him. I love starting my day with Jesus in the morning. We're called to give our first fruits to the Lord. And I believe that by starting with Jesus every day, I'm giving him my first. I'm not falling asleep trying to talk to him at the end of the day when I'm really tired. I'm starting off fresh. We need to be still and know. We need to be still. Sometimes we just need to listen to what he has to say. Our busyness is what usually keeps us from spending time with God. Pastor Rick Warren says he has started his day with the same short prayer for the last 45 years of his life. Here's what he says. "God, if I don't get anything else done today, I want to know you a little bit better, and I want to love you a little bit more." So that's a pretty good way to start your morning. Once I get up, I take about 45 minutes to an hour reading my Bible and praying. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when I first started doing this, 45 minutes to an hour was not what I did. It was kind of like, was 5 minutes seemed like that was plenty of time. And then pretty soon it went a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And now actually I find that, you know, and after an hour, I could still be, I have a little room in the basement that I go to and I still could be down there, but I do have to go to work. So, but it really is, it's a really awesome time to me. And when you feel like maybe you're not totally understanding the scripture just yet, or you don't know what to read, one of the scriptures that I read is Psalm 119:18, and I used to read this every time before I would sit down in my Bible time. "Open my eyes so I can see what you show me of your miracle wonders." You just ask God to open your eyes and your heart to what it is he's trying to tell you in the scripture, and he will tell you. He will show you. He will reveal those things to you. The Holy Spirit works in you, reveals the things to you, and gives you clarity. He will prepare you, like Paul, to know what's authentic and what's not. He will help you see when the world is trying to deceive and distort his truth. If God or God's word isn't being clearly represented to believers or non-believers, we must step in and speak the truth in love, knowing we have God
as the full armor protecting us to the end, and we have the believers who've gone before us cheering us on. And now for the closing. This is from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 20 from The Message. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the word square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Amen.